Today marks the beginning of Lent, and this year we'll be following Jesus into the desert, engaging in a series called Worship in the Wilderness. We'll be exploring the idea that wilderness worship can look quite different to other forms of worship that we might be familiar with, if I can say it properly. It can involve things like fasting or solitude, simplicity and sacrifice. And these forms of worship are given to us by God in the Bible, in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. The people of God were called to come to him in times of repentance, in times of simplicity, in times of sorrow. But how exactly should we do that? Well, God has some words of caution for us before we embark on this wilderness journey. So it's good to have some words of caution before you embark on a journey, isn't it? It's very sort of set off, you know, all ready and raring to go. But if you've not checked the tyre pressures, or whether or not you've got some snacks in the car, or what the road situation is like, you can end up sort of grinding to a halt quite quickly. So here's some words of caution. Firstly, it's a time to rend our hearts. The prophet Joel warns the people of God's coming judgment. He calls them to a period of repentance, of fasting, weeping and mourning. And part of our Lent journey will involve us acknowledging the broken world that we live in and the mistakes that we'll make which contribute to that brokenness. Like the people in Joel's time, we may need to turn to God to confess the sin of the world and the sin in our own lives. We may find it appropriate to fast or to weep or to mourn. As we do so, we'll find that God continues to be gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. In the midst of this message, Joel has an important warning. He says, "Rend your hearts and not your garments," or as the New Living Translation puts it, "Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead." As with any act of worship, it's always possible to put on an outward show of engaging with God, while our hearts are somewhere completely different altogether. We can sing the right songs, we can pretend to be spiritual, we can talk loudly about how much fasting we're doing, but all this means nothing if it's motivated only by selfish desire rather than a broken and a contrite heart before God. Secondly, we need to remember that worship in the wilderness is a time in the secret place. Jesus takes this warning a stage further. He challenges his hearers not to engage in spiritual practices to be seen by others or to be honoured by others. He too is concerned that practices like giving to the needy and prayer, fasting, they can all become ways of showing off to other people, can't they? So Jesus encourages us instead to do these things in secret. He repeats three times that if we do these things in secret, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, to be practical for a moment, it's unlikely that any of us can really grow in these spiritual disciplines if we keep them completely secret. Husbands and wives will probably need to talk about things like giving money out of the family budget. If a child wants to fast a meal, we'll tell your parents, really, or encourage them to tell you, let you know what they're doing. Even times of prayer will probably involve letting people in your house know that you're not to be disturbed. You're spending a time in prayer during Lent. Beyond this, it can be encouraging to discuss with close friends or a small group of other Christian believers or your experiences with these kind of Lent disciplines. I don't think Jesus' point was that we keep elaborate secrets. You sort of suspect your husband or wife is leading a secret life, but actually it turns out they're just fasting and praying. No. His point is to check our hearts and our motives. Are we telling others about our spirituality to help it to grow, or to try and impress them? And thirdly, this worship in the wilderness, it's a time to take something up. If you ask the average person on the street what Lent is all about, they'll probably talk about giving up chocolate or alcohol or some of that unhealthy food or habit. If you know anyone who's done that for Lent, you'll probably remember them talking endlessly about how difficult it was, or how they suffered for 40 days, or packed it all in after a couple. Jesus and Joel set us a different kind of challenge for Lent. Rather than loudly giving things up for Lent, how about quietly taking something up? Why don't we take the hand of Jesus and be led by the Spirit into the wilderness as he teaches us the way of simplicity and sorrow, sacrifice and truth speaking. Let's make this a journey that starts in our hearts, in our deepest desires to follow Jesus, to learn from him, and to be surprised where he takes us. Let this Lent humble ourselves before God as we worship in the wilderness. Amen.